The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. Money back as a free bet on any championship match on live TV. If you're losing, first goal scorer bet gets a goal.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their houses for 10 years.
We're going to start with the Leinster final here. John Heslin is in studio. Actually, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Willie.
So, Leinster final in Portlaoise yesterday, and I was thinking of you during the match going, I wonder is John Heslin watching this? Because I'm sure it would probably bring up some bad memories for you.
Yeah, I'm sure you were thinking of me, yeah. I was watching it, of course. Good game to be watching, but of course it would obviously always bring back those memories of our game. Against Moorfield there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But it was an entertaining game, we'll say, I suppose.
Yeah. No, it was. Like, I mean, some people were saying it wasn't. It's weird when I was at the match and I was right in front of a big kind of section of Ballyboden supporters and there was an even bigger section of Ayr Oak supporters down to the left. And because they were cheering every turnover and everything, it might not come across as much on television. I found myself kind of, you know, enjoying the game. And then you see on Twitter, this is shite, I'm turning away from this or whatever. Yeah. I don't know, just being at the game gives you a different kind of, you know, gives it a different complexion, I suppose.
Yeah, well, sure, it's the atmosphere that's there as well, you know, and what's at stake for each club. I think was it the only second time that Ballyboden won it?
Yeah, second time ever,
So obviously, and then... Without doubt, they're all going to win it as well. But it means a lot to them. But what do people expect in December?
Yeah,
for football, like, you know,
it's harsh.
And the rain,
yeah,
and everything. Like,
it's harsh that the Leinster final is the very last one, isn't it? Now, I don't know. Like, you can't legislate for a storm coming, but I suppose it is December. It's you know, the conditions just they were poxy. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, I didn't see half of the game because I don't think the cameraman actually wiped the screen at all during the game. So it just looked, I could see little pools of water. But it was. The conditions were tough. You could see, like, each team, they didn't want to shoot. You could see the amount of turnovers and the amount of mistakes. But, like, in a roundabout way, that creates the entertainment anyway. You know, it's a lot different playing that club game than a county game. Like, I don't think Michael Darren McCauley would have got away with so many flicks and tricks playing with Dublin. You know, I actually think he backheeled it at one stage too in Ayr Óg, man.
He had a nightmare, if we're being honest, when he came on, because he gave away two balls that led to Ayr Óg points. He did, one of them was that backheel. He had another free that he won and he made some sort of a spock or whatever at an Ayr Óg player and got it thrown up. You know, so it was surprising he didn't start. He's carrying an injury, but I don't know. Like, if Jim Gavin was Dublin manager, would he have tried that flick?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. And I think that's what adds to the club game as well. That, you know, you're not afraid to try these few things. And look, sometimes they come off. And for Michael Darren McCauley yesterday, they didn't really come off. But he got a point. He hand passed it a point over. I think to go 8-6. I think he.
Well, that was the insurance goal.
You know, so he was there. But what a player to be able to bring on. You know, to be able to go that long. I think he came on in the 40th minute. To be able to go that long in the Leinster final and bring on that calibre of player is fairly good now.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. Like, I mean, like, listen, we all know Michael Darragh's qualities. We know kicking wouldn't be his strongest forte. So when you see him trying to backheel the ball, you know that this is a recipe for disaster. He would have been under pressure. But the William Egan equalising point, like, I can't stress enough what a brilliant score this was, because William Egan had ballooned one wide just before that off his right foot in a much better position. He was under a bit of pressure. But it was at a stage of a game, 58 minute, where the build-up play had gone on for so long. It's like, if Ayr Óg turned this over, the game's over. This is their last chance to get a shot off here. And Ballyboden hadn't really been getting many shots off. And then he just pulled it out of the bag, number 18, after missing one. Like, you can't stress enough how brave that was.
No, it was incredible, in fairness, because I think the one he missed, I think Conal Keeney actually passed it off to him, and I was thinking that Conal Keeney's winding up here to shoot. Lovely left foot that he has.
Yeah.
And then your man ballooned it wide, and then, you know, he had the confidence and under pressure and everything to slot the next one over. So it was a great score, especially given the conditions that we've mentioned already.
It was, yeah.
Because it's hard for that ball to travel in the cold weather as well, never mind the rain. You know,
yeah. So. There's such a reluctance to shoot now, isn't it? So say if there's an attack, right, and you get it down, maybe you go by the foot. Now, they did it very rarely yesterday, obviously, because probably the conditions, but a man gets it one-on-one, say you're in full forward for Westmeath, now you're closed down, right, so you try a shot, try a dummy, you get held up, so now you're held up, you're looking for support, you pass it back, the next fella might have a half chance of shooting, he doesn't want to, he passes it back out, suddenly now this back out well outside the 45 and you have to go over and back and over and back. Like, the move's gone at that stage. Do you know, you're nearly better off kicking a wide and nailing the kick out. Do you know what I mean? Then actually recycling all the way back out again.
Yeah, well, that'd be a fair point if you can nail the kick out. But I think if you look at the stats within the GAA, the amount of top quality teams that retain their kick out, it'll be quite high, that percentage. So right, the chances of you winning their kick out are obviously reduced. But I think it is also that mental impact as well, because you know yourself, you probably kicked a few more wides than I have and people give out to you, and that mental impact that it has on the team, and their heads will drop after working so hard to get the turnover. Working so hard to get it up the field, because nowadays it's not two kicks, it is a hand pass, it's work rate to get it up the field, and then for a drop short, which is worst of all, or a wide, it'll be just that mental impact. But I'd be in favour of having the shot, of course. That's forward in me.
Well, of course you would. So then, like, I mean, your heart would go out to Aero, because I thought Aero were gone at half time. I thought Ballyboden controlled the game against the wind. Both teams actually controlled the game, were better against the wind, and they had it. They absolutely had, almost like yourselves two, three years ago.
Yeah.
You had it, even more so.
Even more so,
and for it just to slip from your fingers like that, I don't know how that must feel.
Yeah, and look, I suppose bringing back a few memories for me now, like, you know, it's while it doesn't sound the best thing to say, it's great to be involved in such a game, but that's what makes sport what it is, and that's why we all get so involved in it. You know, I've been involved in winning sides that have won in a similar fashion, so unfortunately I have to be on the opposite end. But back to yesterday's game, you know, I think that it was very much a stalemate. I think it was 15 minutes it could have been before anyone got a score, and next thing Aero got 3.5, you know, their tails were up, and you know, Gannon really was to the fore for that, as he was for the whole lot of the game. But you know, they just dug deep, and it's 8-6. Like, it's about keeping possession, and it comes back to your comment about kicking the wide. You know, the team that made less mistakes, the old cliche, get on top. But look, could Colin Baskell had a penalty when he had a shot on goal with his arm pulled a little bit?
You'd say yes. Yeah, you'd definitely say yes. I don't think there was a penalty in that. No, I think he was, like, it would have been a soft penalty against the wind. I thought he would have put that away, actually.
Yeah, he was Baskell in for goal, and there was actually another one in the second half where it was as if the Aero defence were playing it offside, and they kind of pushed out, and now I don't know if there's anyone behind him, but he didn't get that slip pass, and he was in for another goal.
But the one he hand passed over the bar was a great score in the second half, because he went along the outside there, right? You know, when you go along the outside, at some point you have to cut in along the end line and you're going to get nailed. But he braced himself for that hit, and he was able to ride it and get the hand pass over the bar. I thought that was a very impressive score.
Yeah, and important, as we know, each one of them yesterday.
Well, Ryan Baskell, obviously, I don't think Ryan Baskell would have got that point if it hadn't been a draw at the time. You know, well, it's hard to know now. Yeah. And, like, I mean, that was a brilliant score as well. But Egan's was much more impressive in that was game over, if that didn't go over. Yeah. And Michael Dara's point was just the game was done at that stage. Aerog had pushed so many players up to try and win the ball back that was, you know, I would even discount, it was a hand pass point anyways, I would discount that anyways.
You're being very harsh on poor Michael Dara. But back to Ryan Baskell's one, I thought that was impressive actually, because he actually missed a free just beforehand. And
do you know what he did? He ran down his own clock for that free. Do you remember that?
Doing the gloves and, you know,
he's a point down and it's not an easy free there. No. So I would have, like, he wasted so much time over that free.
Yeah, he wasted a lot of time. And, you know, I played with Ryan in UCD, so we were at home kind of urging him on, hoping that he kicked it, you know, but he obviously pulled it short the near side. But to go then and attempt that one where he did, it just, you know, it's a quality forward that can do that, but for a free taker to do it, because, you know, he obviously put the miss out of his head and kicked that next one, like, you know, so I thought it was...
As the father says to me at home yesterday after the game, and then goes and kicks a wide on his own side, which is a huge pet hate of his. How good is Ryan compared to Colm?
Oh, tough question. Yeah,
seeing as he's a buddy of yours, I'm just after throwing that.
Well, I played with the two of them. One a Sigerson with Colm, but Colm was a little bit younger at the time. But you know, he was remarkable then as well. Like, he had the speed. Like, he's that kind of pace.
Just taking on a player, he's an exciting player to watch, isn't he, Colm?
Look, the two of them add a lot to that Ballyboden attack. Obviously, like, you know, I think Ryan has developed a lot more in recent years as well. Like, he's grown into his own there, and he really is leading Ballyboden. But they're two different players that I wouldn't like to compare and contrast, really.
Okay. Fair, we'll have to give Aerog a mention. Like I said, they looked completely gone at half time, and I don't know how both teams performed as well as they did against them. And we know Aerog like the counter-attack. And I was saying yesterday, when a team who likes to counter-attack has a strong wind and it's up to them to dictate the game, it, it doesn't, it's not natural for them. You know, they're more of a sit back, and they're very good on the counter attack, in fairness to them. I think against the wind weirdly suited them much better because Ballyboden had to force it a bit more.
Yeah, and it's psychological as well, that they know that they have to work that bit harder because they're against the wind. But as you said, they're playing to their attributes. They're used to counter attacking. Yesterday wasn't a day for kick passing anyway. You know, well, it didn't seem to be anyway from the mistakes that were made. So yeah, it often does suit the team that's playing that sort of way.
Yeah, they break very well here, Og, in fairness. And we'll talk about some of, you mentioned Sean Gannon, he was outstanding. We'll mention some of their players in performance of the weekend because they're really good. Their manager, Joe Murphy, who talks an awful lot of sense, he was on the show here last Thursday, he was kind of magnanimous in defeat, and he was talking about, you know, that they'll get over it very quickly, and that the it's all about inspiring the young Airog children to, you know, to play and to want to play senior and stuff. And, you know, very mature stuff to say after the game slipping away from them as it did. But if a performance like that in a Leinster final, putting it up to Ballyboden the way they did and arguably absolutely deserved a draw, if that doesn't inspire the children in Airog, then, you know, nothing will.
Yeah. Of course it will. Sure, look, the history that Airog have, that's what's inspired these lads that are currently playing, because they have, you might know better than I, how many Leinster championships they've won in the past, but they've won plenty.
They won five in the 90s, five in 7 years.
Success breeds success, you know.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. We'll leave it there, John, because Conal Keeney is after joining us on the line. Conal, how's it going? You don't make it easy on yourselves anyways.
No, it was a tough one yesterday, that's for sure, but look, in fairness, Airog, they didn't die. You know, I suppose, to be honest, we were expecting with the breeze to probably kick on a bit at half time and kick a few scores with the win, but just didn't happen. They were really, really dogged and they stuck to their game plan, and it just didn't happen. And we were actually very, very lucky to get away in the end.
Well, you must have. Did you think the game was gone away from you? I know, and I'm not just talking about Leinster finals, but against Nafina this year, against St. Jude's this year. You have a habit, Ballyboden. Remember Clonmel commercials? You were gone in that game too. As a club, you seem to have a habit of not, you know, accepting defeat.
I suppose you could say that. Like, but I think it's the lads themselves. Like individually, they're so well driven, like that. It's the next ball all the time. I know what you say, like, but the lads coming on made a huge difference, and they just believe in the process. They believe in what we're doing, and this just seems to always just eke out results, and not just in championship, but in a lot of league games this year as well, and even in past years against Port Leith, against ourselves in the Leinster final a couple of years ago, and against Clonmel as well. And we stick to what we know, and it seems to always work. So I think they really, really get a lot of confidence out of that. And the lads coming off the bench make a huge, huge difference every time.
Talking about the man coming off the bench, Warren Egan's point was sensational. We talked about this here in the studio, and it was the pressure that was on him to take on a shot there, because I don't think anybody wanted to try that, because the move had, like, there was a lot of hand passes involved, and it's like, if Airog turned this over, that game is pretty much finished at that stage.
Yeah, like, it is difficult. Yeah, it is difficult at the end. Like, a lot of balls go over and back, a lot of hand passing, and a lot of lads, the easy thing is to pass it off. And to be fair to Warren, he's played all the games all year, and he probably could have, it was an argument for him to start the last day, and I'd say probably I ahead of him. And it just shows the resolve that he has. After kicking a bad wide, you could say, you know, he didn't have the... You could say he didn't have to go for that, like, even the ball to go for it, but it just showed that he went for it, he got it, and the same with Ryan, he went for shot, a couple of frees, and he got the winner. And the resolve in the lads and the belief that they have in themselves, it is incredible, like, in fairness, and you have to give them a lot of credit for that. And not just today, but in every single game, you know, they're so dedicated to what they believe in, and not just the game plan, it's outside the game, and they go into so much detail about other teams and their dives and everything. And I suppose yesterday it really came to the fore, and credit to the whole lot of the panel and the management that for instilling that. And it's not easy at the time, you know, nobody wants to be the one to hit it wide, and it takes a bit of balls to do that, and he had it.
Yeah, there wasn't that many shots on goals. Like, I mean, I thought Aoróg in the first half, I think they only had maybe four shots. Three of them were points and then one into the goalkeeper's hands. And I thought you'd push on well in the second half because you were both doing well on the opposition's kickouts. It's just they weren't, they didn't have to kick it out all that often because there wasn't many shots going in.
Yeah, I think times we were getting possession and coming forward with it and probably doing the wrong thing or bouncing or trying to kick pass when it wasn't really on, and we're getting dispossessed or losing possession, and they were breaking really hard, and only from our full back line between Bob and Carl and Shane, like, they were immense yesterday, and every time they seem to go, they're all going attacking, they just need to get dispossessed, and they've been doing that all year. Like, that's not just yesterday. Like, it's just incredible the work that they put in and the pace that they have in the back. And like, Bob didn't even start the championship for this year. He was a sub. Like, so that's just the strength and depth that we have.
Right, right, exactly. And I have to say, the referee contributed to it. It wasn't that easy win a free off him anyways.
No. We had him before and we knew what he was like. He likes to dominate the games and show who's the boss. But look, in fairness, he refereed it very well yesterday.
I thought he did, yeah.
They were looking for some easy frees, which a lot of refs would have went for, like, in those conditions, and considering they were the so-called underdogs coming in. And in fairness, I thought he did actually very well yesterday.
He did, he did. There was a lot of frees, challenges, like a back and a forward coming out, and maybe the back putting a hand in to slap it away. They're often given as frees. They're not really frees, but a lot of referees take the easy option and give that.
Yeah, especially in the conditions yesterday. It was the easy thing when the lad goes to the ground to give him a free, but you have to give him credit. A lot of times, maybe the Carlo lads were like looking for the frees when it wasn't really on, and our backs were very physical, but fairly physical, and a lot of times just play on, and fair play to the ref for doing that. Yeah. It wasn't a popular decision at the time. The crowd were absolutely going mad, but credit where it's due. In fairness, he did very well.
Come here, are you giving Michael Dara a stick for that back heel?
Yeah, I don't know what he was at. I think he thought he was an Old Trafford or something, but what's the time and the place for that?
Well,
but,
yeah, exactly.
Look, we got away with it, but he says there was someone there, but only an arrow glad he was passing to. He connected unbelievably well with it.
Too well,
it looked
great
if it came off.
No, he connected too well. There was somebody there. He connected too well, and it went way further than he had planned, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I didn't know he had that in his locker to do that, but look. Look, he has to try these things, and Mick is the kind of fella that will try whatever he thinks is right at the time. But look, we obviously they went up and made an attack after. I don't think they got a score out of it, but I prefer him to go down on the ball and pick it up, and that's maybe old school. But look, it wasn't a thing to do at the time. But look, we got away with it, and sure, it's all forgotten bit when you win.
Well, that's exactly it. We were saying here on the show that it's easy to know Jim Gavin has retired from Dublin manager when they can start trying that.
Yeah, well, he was trying that when there's no manager name, so he's getting it to once. Mick is seriously talented, and he probably thought in his own mind he deserved to start, and he made a big difference when he came on. And was it the right thing to do? Jesus, I'm not sure at that stage of the game. I don't think it was, but that's only kind of like the Mick would try that. No, I don't think anyone else would try that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Come here, you must have been delighted with your own performance, because like a point in the first half from play when they were, you know, very scarce, and then a really good one in the second half as well, especially when you missed the semi-final and the final because of an injury, to get back in there and play as well as you did, it must have been a nice feeling.
Look, it was. To be honest with you, I've trained really hard the last couple of weeks to try and get in, and I was really disappointed I didn't play a start against in the semi-final. But look, that's just the way it is. It's really difficult to get into this team, and you know, when you get picked, there's really more pressure on you. You're really looking. It's the same as if the county. You're looking. If you don't do something good in the first 10 minutes, you're looking at the line going, who the hell is warming up to take me off? So when you score a point or whatever and do something well, the pressure comes off you. So look, I was happy-ish, but again, I was disappointed to be taken off, but maybe that's just me. I thought I had more in the tank, but that's the way it goes, and look, they were proven right, and bring on fresh legs, and that's the way it is now. And young lads can come on and do the business, and that's what happens.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, but like, I mean, I suppose your ability to kick long range scores with the wind, I thought I would have left you on. But anyways, I saw you having a word with Rainbow, and it's funny with Rainbow. Rainbow stayed playing till he was about 38 as well, so he obviously knows the idea of being taken off when you get into your well into your 30s. Maybe you were coming off before that game ever even started.
I don't know. Look, I have my own theories on that, but okay. Maybe he's right. He is right. Look, we won the game at the end of the day, and I would have backed myself to get a couple of scores near the end if that came about, but it didn't. So that's the way it is, and I have to obviously prove myself again. We have a league final Tuesday week. I have to try and get in the team for that and keep playing well, because otherwise there's some other lad that wants the jersey, and I think that's the way it is, and that's healthy too, you know. Yeah. And I think you should be disappointed when you're not playing, maybe not bringing it to the day of the game. But I was fiercely disappointed in not playing a lot of the games up to this, but that's the way it is, and you just have to get on with it. There's no point sitting there with a big sick head in it. You know, you have to do the best thing for the squad, and Anthony's always preaching it's about the 30, it's not about the team or the 15 that start, it's about the lads that come on, and there again on yesterday, the lads that come on did the business. Like, they wouldn't have won it without the lads pushing on.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Come here, where's the celebrations out around there? Where do you go? Do you have a clubhouse out there, or where do you...
We're in the club yesterday. We're in the club probably later on this evening, and we'll be down in the Orchard, we'll be down in the Revel, and we'll keep it going. Wherever there's a free bar, we'll go, you know yourself.
Right, well, come here, I'll let you back to O'Connell. Thanks for giving us your time there.
No bother. Okay, cheers, Tom.
All right, great stuff from Conal there. That's actually two GAR pundits, Conal Keeney and Paddy Stapleton, that have won provincial titles this year. So not bad going there from our stable.
What are you bringing to the table, Willie? A five-a-side in Borough Leash, maybe.
Junior next year. Junior county title I'm going for next year. I'm going down to junior. I want to find a team I can get on. That's when you get to my age, that's what you have to do.
Best of luck.
Mattock Rangers beat Mullinavat on Saturday. We're going to talk to Adrian Reid, who's their captain, in performance of the weekend. I Mattock Rangers, it was a surprise for me that they were even at intermediate, because during the noughties, when I would have been playing all my club football pretty much, they were the big club in Louth. They won four in the noughties, and now they're back down, were relegated in 2015 and struggled to get back out of it. They're a little village, Adrian said, and it was referenced that in his speech. And then I was thinking, it's almost like it's the year of the village teams. Boris Ali won the Munster Hurling. Mattock Rangers obviously won the intermediate football. Temple No, I'm not sure it even called that a village. It's just a church. They don't even have a national school. They won the intermediate football in Munster. Kilcoo, there's only sheep up there. They won the Ulster Senior. Then you have Tullerone winning the intermediate hurling. You have Corrifin. Yeah, you would say Corrifin is a village, you know. They're in the mix as well. I don't know what it is about village teams, John. Is it a community spirit? You're a townie like me. You don't know anything about
it. No, you haven't done your research on me. I'm no townie. I'm living out in the country. There would be.
But you're playing with a town club.
Playing with a town club, yeah. But
so you're an outsider in there. You're trying to bring this village mentality into a town team.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I've been driving the tractor to train as much as I can, and that doesn't seem to work. So I'm going back to the car. But look, we're actually quite lucky that we've a good balance of country and lads from the town, but I actually played a lot in hurling with Castletown Gagan, which is a country club, and they would be Malachies in football. So I would have been brought up in that kind of community spirit. But
so what do you see as the difference of that then? Because I am always fascinated by this, because Portlaoise, we could never replicate what they had with that kind, like the crowd would be going ballistic, nobody at our coming to support us. And it's just when they get their tails up, they seem to have some sort of a community spirit. A town team can never have that.
No, it's funny. And we have it in Westmeath. I'll give a shout out to Rosemont, because while I don't like playing them because of the amount of supporters that they bring, I envy them for it as well. Because I do not think they leave anybody in the village when they're playing, like, you know. But what is it? I suppose that they've gone to school, grown up. I know the lads that I played hurling with out in Castletown Gagan, they all went to school together. They know each other from a young age, and they're literally playing football and hurling together right the whole way up. Yeah. And the likes of those villages there that you mentioned, I presume that, you know, they have a good crop of people coming through at that particular time. They have a lot of people volunteering and ensuring, giving the best that they can to the young lads as they're growing up. And then they come into senior and it's been put on a plate for them there, and they've enjoyed it the whole way up. And luckily enough, they haven't had too many people go away for travel or work, etc., etc., and they've managed to hold on to them. But I think that what you've just mentioned is part of a bigger picture with the whole GAA fixtures and the importance of the club. Because we can see, like, I went to do a medal presentation in Westmeath this year and the same place 2 years ago, and there's 5-6 clubs joined together that wouldn't have been in the past. That parents, people who were born there have gone, moved into towns, maybe moved into the city in Dublin, and they're not living there anymore, just surely jobs, amenities, etc., etc. And, you know, we see the importance of it here, of having people in rural Ireland and what they're bringing to the community, because you've just mentioned so many clubs there that people will actually have those victories down as one of the greatest days of their lives. Like, you know, it's funny what it brings to
us. And it's true, like a lot of these, when we're looking at these villages, Mattock Rangers, Templenoe, Tullerone, they're intermediate champions. Do you know what I mean? We're not. I'm not overblowing this and saying that it's a takeover of villages, but I don't know what the GAA can do about, you know, rural Ireland. That's a societal issue.
And that's what I mean. It's part of a bigger picture.
Yeah, what plan could they have even to fix this, you know?
Give Westmead more funding. That's what I'd say now is the best thing to do for that. No,
it's
but
all,
it is.
It's all Dublin's fault. They're taking all the money.
Well, now that you're talking about it, no, it is part of a bigger picture. But like the point is just what GAA brings to people's lives, you know. And you've mentioned there, intermediate teams winning. Tommy Walsh saying that his victory there was up there, if not better than some of his Kilkenny victories. Like, you know, and when we talk about the inter-county and we don't want a tier championship, we don't want this, we don't want that. Like, the success and the happiness that it brought to so many lives within those. And I know for myself, when you're playing with the club, albeit there were senior championships I was involved in, but it wouldn't have mattered if it was intermediate, whatever our level was.
Yeah.
Had we won that, it would have been just as special, you know.
Well, that's the thing. And even Boris Ali, now that you mention it, Brendan Maher and Dan McCormack, he was saying where they were talking and they were saying that winning, was it the county title or the provincial? I think the provincial, I think it could have been the county title, beats anything they did with Tip. Now, they've won All-Ireland. Yeah. And I'm like, you hear players saying this, and sometimes I think it's the easier thing to say. And I'm like, how could that trump an All-Ireland? Yeah. You know, like, maybe it's because I've won county titles and I've never won an All-Ireland. You always want what you've never had, you know, that kind of way, I suppose.
Well, I can't make the comment on any All-Ireland, unfortunately, a college one, but none at inter-county level. But the victory we had in 2013, it was the first time Lomond's won a senior championship for 50 years. It was 50 years to the day.
That's massive,
and it was unbelievable. And a club legend had passed away earlier that year. And it was so special to everybody. We had fireworks going off, and never forget it. And, you know, it is very special.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. All right, we'll take a break here, John, and we'll come back with some more news.
Dear, great to finally get to interview you.
Oh, really, yeah?
Why
is it great?
Why do you not do many interviews?
I don't know, really. I haven't been asked to do a whole pile of...
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
I know we spoke about the defensive side of things. If you're coming in and if you want to be the Woolly Parkinson and just play for myself, and an inter-county corner forward isn't just hatching inside either. Unfortunately for you, Woolly, it won't last forever. You can ask ex-players that. You can ask you know that yourself, Woolly.
Yeah, mine never started at all.
Yeah, well, that's neither here nor there.
So in the huge news of the weekend, John, Westmead beat Wexford on Saturday.
I wasn't sure what you were coming
to. I have to tell you that I do not. This is the first time I've ever commented on a pre-season tournament. I just ignore them. I pretend they're not even happening. But since you're in here, well, number one, the reason I mention it is because I didn't see your name popping up anywhere. And this time last year, you put your feet up and took a couple of months off.
Yeah, all the lads keep reminding me about that one in training now, in fairness.
So I'm sure you're getting slagging. This time last year, you're like eating biscuits and drinking your cup of tea on a Tuesday night, and you went back when the hard training was over. Yeah. This year, are you back doing the hard training, or what's your story?
Yeah, I'm back doing the hard training. And it's funny you mentioned that it was the first time you commented on a preseason competition. I think I made my debut for Westmeath in the Auburn Cup only 2 years ago, because I was playing with UCD the whole time before that. So
really?
I'd never played Auburn Cup before that. But no, I'm back training now. Yeah, we're back maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and the lads are back just maybe a couple of weeks longer than that, because we got to the county final, so you're allowed an extra little 2 weeks off. But no, back training hard. I was away at the weekend. I had already plans made for the weekend, so right. I wasn't there.
Okay. And like, I mean, do you think taking that break affected your year last year? Like, don't take this the wrong way or anything, but I don't think you had your best ever year.
Yeah, no, I've actually just taken that the wrong way. And if it's possible for me to walk out and slam the door in the middle of podcast, I would do that. But no, yeah, you're probably right. Look, I had to take a couple months off. I was finishing a PhD and trying to
work.
Yeah,
so that dragged across it as well, right?
Yeah. So I had to finish that. And look, I weighed up the options of when I could complete it. The deadline was the 10th of May. And I knew I had a certain amount of work to get done before I could commit back to Westmeath. So when March came, I talked to Jack and I felt that I was going to hit that deadline so I could go back in and train.
Okay.
And play. But yeah, I didn't have that hard graft of a pre-season done. And most years before that, I would have either played with Lomans right up until October, November, even December. Or played at UCD. So you're always kind of playing, active and getting ready for the intercounty season. But last year that didn't happen. You missed those couple of hard months training, and everybody knows that you have to put in the hard graft to enable yourself to perform at match day, like, you know. Yeah. So definitely it would have affected it. Yeah. And look, for the club then, as the season went on, I got more and more time into the legs, and you started playing a little bit better towards the end of the summer, like, you know. But probably for the county, might have affected it a bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I mean, you mentioned UCD, and you tweeted you graduated. You tweeted, was it 2 weeks ago last week.
Yeah.
So a total of 10 years in UCD, a long enjoyable road. Graduation complete. So my question to you is, how many years did you fail to be in UCD for 10 years?
Thankfully, I didn't fail any years. I took a year out in between the undergrad to go to Australia and try my hand at AFL, and then I came back, and the PhD then was 5 years because I took two jobs in between it as well. So I started working with Chagas, and then I'm working with MSD Animal Health now out in Leopardstown. So I took that job about nearly 2 years ago now. And that's what kind of PhD can range from 3 to 8 years, but right. Usually it's around 4 years.
Oh, so the last 2 years you were working while doing it.
So that's why I had to kind of take a bit of a break last year, because I was working and trying to do the PhD in the evenings, like, you know.
Right,
so
right, was, okay.
And obviously drink the tea and eat the biscuits that you mentioned as well.
Listen, what do you make of the competitions going on in December? Anyways, like, I mean, I know you're giving it the commitment this year, but like, when did Westmeath go back training, for example? If you're starting at the start of December, like, you don't want to go out in these competitive games and look unfit. So like, you must, every county, not just Westmeath, you must be starting maybe mid-October. Would that be fair to say?
I'm not sure. Is there a rule that I have to oblige?
No, there isn't a rule. No, they're going to bring in first.
I'm not gonna
no, they're going to bring in 1st of December rule. Yeah. This task force has recommended that, yeah. How they can enforce it. But you're not going to get Jack Cooney in trouble.
Because
right?
I want to play this year. So if I got Jack in trouble, he'd put me on the bench or not even in the 26. But I think some lads started going back maybe mid-October, end of October. But like, some of those lads that went back in might have been out of club championships since August. So if you think about that as an off-season in terms of elite sport, it's long enough, you know, to get back in and start doing some bit of
something,
training and
yeah.
Moving the legs. Because no matter what you do, you're never training as hard as you are with the lads or with the team. So then it was kind of staggered for us in Westmeath that depending on when you were knocked out or depending on how many years you've played, it's kind of a mix of both, because new lads coming in might have to learn some of the lifts you might be doing in the gym or get extra miles into the legs and things like that. So in fairness to Jack and John Angle and Wolfhound, who was our strength and conditioning coach, they would have that approach, and Liam Heaven and DBC Physio as well. They would work quite closely together. Work with the individual then and who needs to come back at what stage, but we're all fairly back in there now. Obviously the Gary Castle lads aren't in yet, but what do I think about the pre-season competitions? I think, like, you know, you need a pre-season, everyone needs a pre-season, right? And you need the training, and then in terms of the game, I think I'd rather be playing an O'Byrne Cup game rather than playing a challenge game, and I think to give some, you know, respect to new people coming onto the panel to try and stake their claim to get a starting position, they would want to be playing an O'Byrne Cup game as well, because if you have that challenge, or this is only a friendly attitude to a game, which I've never played any friendly game, but you know, the O'Byrne Cup game gives those guys a platform to impress. And you know, then you're coming into the first round of the league, and the league has changed over the last number of years that it's not just, you know, a warm up for the championship. It's a main competition,
yeah,
and for
yeah.
the majority of counties around the country, that is their be all and end all.
So you know? Can't. You're saying you can't try lads out in that?
No, well, but, to an extent.
And not as many, yeah. Exactly. But can it be fair sometimes I find with a Burn Cup in eight fellas could get a run and they're not really playing on a good Westmeath. You know, are they really getting a good chance there or would, you know, two of them be better off getting a game every league game, you know, where they're playing with you and playing with, you know, Martin and these...
Yeah, well, you said they're not playing with a good Westmeath team. Westmeath team...
No, you get me.
Yeah, I do. I understand, yeah. But it was a good team.
It was a decent team they picked, yeah.
And some of the young lads that played very well. And then now this weekend when we play Mead, there might be a few changes. Other lads given a chance. Maybe some of the older lads come back in as well. But we had some stronger lads playing stronger lads, say more experienced lads who have had more years playing, correct, yeah. But no, I hear you because I know back when I was making my first few games, I would have been of that same mentality. Let me try and play with the lads who've been around, who know how to play these games, and let me have a little cameo role then on the side because they're doing all the hard work, you know?
Yeah. Being with lads that, yeah, exactly. You'd like to be on the strongest team with maybe two lads getting a go, you know, and being in around a good team. And then you're probably going to have a better chance of winning and being in control. And if you're in the forward, you're getting more ball. All those things.
Exactly.
Like, imagine having like an experimental midfield and you're getting your shot in full forward and you can't get it on, you know what I mean? You can't get ball. That's difficult. Paul Cody, the Carlow hurler, was tweeting about this. He was saying, find things hard to explain in life, but playing 2020 Walsh Burn Cup games on the 7th, 8th of December is a fucking mystery to me. He says, pointless and mixed. County teams go back training earlier. Little or no downtime for the GAA or players now. Not good for bodies or minds. Now, he's Mount Leinster Rangers, who would have been playing up to a county final stage. So I can see his point. It's a very hard one to get wrong. And I do take your point. I remember Laois players, I'd always be late with Port Laois and you'd love a break and you don't get it. And then you're right. There's other club lads have been sitting idle since the end of June, early July. So, you know, you need a manager who's going to maybe just get those lads back in training. You know, and good manager probably doing that right now anyways.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, the inter-county level now has become very much individualised within a team. You know, because there's some lads that can do certain training. They might be able to play on a certain surface. Other lads might be able to train on AstroTurf, for example. Some lads might be able to do lifts in the gym that won't affect their body. They've been doing them for years, etc., etc. And you really have to manage it that way. I know I can understand Paul's frustration there because, look, if we look at the fixtures as a whole, there's so much to cram in 12 months from inter-county level to club level, senior, intermediate, junior, hurling and football, colleges games. There's just so much to cram in and it is a real issue that the GAA have to look at. But I would ask for, rather than point a finger, ask for a solution there. What is his other alternative? Because if we pushed it all
scrap
back...
Scrap them. My answer is to scrap them.
You see, yeah.
You like them. But I don't think there's much wrong with a challenge game or two, like, you know, and try lads out in challenge games. Let's be honest, a challenge game to an inexperienced player is still a pretty big deal. I remember my first ever challenge game with Laois Seniors. I was nervous for this. Like, I mean, remember even when I went back when I was 32, we played in a Burn Cup game and I was nervous for that. It depends... Like, a challenge game is still... And another thing I always say, every manager in a county knows the lads who are good enough to play inter-county. I don't know, like, who've down through the years, can you remember, without naming names, even count how many players you've said, geez, without that a Burn Cup game, we wouldn't have discovered that lad. We wouldn't, you know what I mean?
Well, look, I'm sure there are managers out there who would say it. You know, I'm from a player's perspective,
everybody knows the good players, though. Like, a Burn Cup isn't going to just go, Jesus, I never knew that lad was good enough. And then he could have been good enough in that one game, and if you didn't think, well, I never thought he had it in him, then he plays a league game and he mightn't be good enough, you know?
Yeah, no, look, I hear you, I hear you, and I can see what you mean, and I can see the alternative opinion there for scrapping them per se, but you do need pre-season competitive games. It's just timing them, I think, in terms of when to play them. As Paul Cody said there, you know, playing them in 2019 is probably not the answer, but how do you fit them in around the league? It's look, they do it in Australia. I think they have the NAB Cup. I think they still have the NAB Cup pre-season competition before the main season comes in, but that's coming into a could be 18 game league, whereas we're coming into a league campaign that's very very short actually, and very few games if you think about it in terms of the context of competitions. Like
seven games in better news for Mayo. So Mayo haven't been having a good time of it of late. So we know all the Tim O'Leary controversy and the county board. and all that. But Kieran MacDonald has joined the Mayo backroom team. And this was mooted last year. This was supposed to happen last year and something must have happened. So it was a statement from James Horn. He says, I'm really delighted to welcome Kieran into the support team of Mayo GEA. Maybe that's what the backroom team is called now, support team. He brings a wealth of experience, vision and skill to our coaching setup, and this will also fit in very well with the development phase we are currently in with the senior squad. So that's good news. Like, I don't know what kind of a coach Kieran MacDonald, like, he's a brilliant name to have involved in it. Again, some players are cut out for coaching, others aren't. He's a quiet enough sort of fella. So, like, I mean, you know, I'll wait to hear how good he is at it, rather. But still, having him associated with the squad, it can't be, cannot be a bad thing.
No, I'd say it'd be a positive. As you said there, it'd be interesting to see how good of a coach he is per se. But even from a forward's perspective, if Kieran MacDonald was to come into the Westmeath dressing room and say something to me there, you know, I'd be all ears because of watching him for years and seeing what he could do.
Yeah.
He must be able to share some sort of insight of how to do it, you know. And even if, you know, the manager was relaying the message to Kieran MacDonald to let the forwards know, well, then that's smart coaching there,
but,
you know.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, Kieran MacDonald was a number 11, brilliant. Now 13 at the start, but he made his biggest name with the cornrows as a number 11. There's no such thing as a number 11 anymore in the traditional sense, is there? Because you play there and, like, you're sucked well back into the back line, and that playmaking centre forward, Brian McGuigan and Kieran MacDonald, that kind of Alan Brogan did it. That's not really there anymore, is it?
Well, I would say it is there to an extent. They're probably the role within the team maybe have changed, and you know, they've had to adapt to that as well. But I think that there is a need for a playmaker, whether you say he's 11 or wherever he is, but he's in around that centre position. But it depends what way they set up the team to allow for that. Mayo have a type of player like that anyway, is a question, that playmaker type. But look, it depends if, you know, it's what way the manager sets up. Every inter-county manager seems to set up a particular way anyway. But if they had a special player to play number 11 to set it up, well, then I think that they could do that, like.
Yeah, no, definitely. Listen, having him in there, even for the inside forwards, like, I mean, with movement and stuff like that, I'm sure he will be good. But I think he was just a special player that just did stuff off the cuff. But, you know, whether you can teach that to someone who's not as good as you, like, I mean, a wand of a left foot, how can you, like, if he tried to tell me to do something, Kieran, I can't do it the way you
definitely
do.
If he tried to tell you to do something, let's be honest.
No, I'm my left. I hope you're not talking about my right.
Right is a wand. Well, you're right.
Why is it that right-footed players are never told they have a wand, whereas left-footed players have a wand?
I don't know. That's a good point. We must find out. Put out on a poll on Twitter or something.
So I mentioned Tim O'Leary, right? So he was on Twitter last night, and so the talk is the Mayo County Board have countered his threat of legal action with legal action of their own. So he's gone public now. So all he ever wanted was receipt. He gave $150,000 to the Mayo County Board, and he wanted, under the stipulation that they use that, James Horan got that money. Now, he should have given it to James Horan straight, and it was spent on the senior team to help them, you know, compete with Dublin financially. Just this was to be go to the senior football team. So he wants receipts for that. He doesn't think that was spent the way he wanted it spent. He wants receipts for the 150,000. So he tweeted out some of the receipts last night. Like, you'd actually laugh out loud looking at this. It's crazy stuff. And one receipt was a food receipt for 62 euros, which probably you could say was a genuine receipt. But 62, you want a good few more of these now to make up your 150 grand. So it was like peppermint tea was on it, walnuts were on it, low-fat hummus, all the... Now, you could say, right, this was maybe after training and the players wanted some sort of nuts or whatever it was. You could say that was spent on the senior team. But it was only 62 euros. There was another one for a dietitian for 550 euros. And unfortunately, that was dated from the 6th of March 2017 when he gave his 150,000 in 2018. And there was another one for curtains, right? And this also was dated from November 2017 when he gave in 2018. Like, so, and I think the curtains one was in around 2 grand. So this is a complete and utter mess. Like, I mean, this is a serious individual giving money, and you have this joke sending him stuff. Mm. Like, I mean, how can you expect to get away with this? This is a successful businessman. You think you're going to let a few outdated receipts for curtains and he's just going to go, all right, well, I'm accepting this. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, the county board creative accountant wasn't too creative there now putting in those receipts. But I think it's fairly eye-opening when you see that that level of investment goes into an inter-county team. Like, I think that it has been documented, and we, you know, the GPA, etc., and players have tried to raise the awareness around actual costs that go into running an inter-county team. But for that level of investment to come in from a private investor is quite amazing when you think of the revenue that's involved in the GAA, and that's required for a team to challenge the Dubs. Like, there's something fundamentally wrong with that approach, if you ask me. And if that's the approach we have to take, I have to start getting in touch with some of the successful businessmen from Westmead to get myself a new set of curtains.
You have to do that anyway. Like, Jim McGuinness went on the road.
Well, but literally, it's embarrassing,
like a salesman.
As an organisation, would that not be deemed quite embarrassing that they have to go and look for money to fund these teams for our own competitions? Can that not be done internally? Is there something missing? But also, on the other hand, it's funny how they had no business plan put in place. This money was just given without any stipulation beforehand. You know, maybe there was that we're not hearing of it, but surely that if you were given someone,
the stipulation was to pay, that the money was to go to the senior team, and I suppose it was given in good faith.
He would have looked to see, you know, you can't, it's very hard to ask someone retrospectively, show me what you spent that money on.
Well, I know county boards, I'd have given it straight to James Horan. Like, I think he was naive at the start, you know, like, I mean, and didn't really know maybe how unprofessional the Mayo County Board were. And like, the proof of their unprofessionalism is in these receipts, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, well, they're volunteers, you know. I'm not sure how many full-time staff that the Mayo County Board have. You know, around the country, there could only be one or two people that are involved in, you know, full-time in the county board, like, you know, never mind coaches, etc., but full-time. And they're giving this amount of money to, okay, easy, give to James Horan, as you said, but that's not the way it goes in county boards, and you know that there's these people who are volunteers who are working, and next thing in the evening, they have to make up their mind of what to do with this money. Like, there's a fundamental issue with that story.
Yeah, no, okay, fair enough. I didn't really, it is true when I'm talking about professionalism, they are volunteers, and you know, and maybe they're not, but at the same time, if they're given 150 grand to spend on the senior team, spend it on the senior team. You know, that's the way I would look at it. I don't think volunteers, you know, should get away with not spending it the way it was requested, you know, just because they're not professionals. Finally, John, the betting has been suspended on Tommy Conroy. Now, Paddy Power, our sponsors, I don't know if this is a stunt from Paddy Power, but apparently there would be no strangers to a bit of publicity, Paddy Power. And they've suspended the betting on Tommy Conroy. This comes as a huge shock to me. Now, you don't know what to read into it. This is just some money has come in for Tommy Conroy. And Stephen Cluxton shot in from 33-1 to 9-1 to be manager. I don't know. I just thought Desi Farrell was sewing up for this. And I think Pat Gilroy won't want it. I think Desi Farrell has had all these players at underage. They respect him. They like him. I think anybody else outside of that is a big risk. I think Tommy Conroy won an All-Ireland club with Vincent's and won Leinster titles. I just don't think he has the standing in the game to take over that dressing room. Imagine him walking into these fellas, a 5-in-a-row team of legends, and Jesus, you know?
Yeah, but there is an element to it as well that I genuinely believe that the Dublin lads have developed under Jim Gavin so much that there wouldn't be that element of, well, who's this guy to tell me what to do? I really don't think there would be that.
But what if he tries to move some of them on, you see? Because new manager is going to have to build for the future. So will Philly McMahon, like, you have to put your own stamp on it. You know, would Philly McMahon, who else is there? Kevin McManaman. Will you start going, moving these lads on and try to make it? Like, Desi Farrell might do that as well. You don't know.
Yeah, well, look, sure. You know, as a new manager comes into any walk of life, be it sport or professionally, that, you know, there's things do change. But because they have such a good template there in place that... You'd be saying it'd be silly to nearly change it too much, like, you know. But I'm sure, you know, as you said, Desi Farrell had those lads. I think a few of them have put out pictures of working with Desi Farrell in the past as well. Like, and he knows them so well, as you said, that you would have thought that he'd be the right man to step into it. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see who gets it.
Yeah, no, it definitely will. Right, we'll come back with Paddy Power performance of the weekend.
Can't touch this. This.
A few weeks later, they played Kilkenny below Nolan Park, the same year, and they were being hockey. But the camera went in, there was a fella warming up. Jesus, you should see him. Yeah, the fuck, he was massive. Legs, arse, belt. And I bust out laughing watching him. There he was, the epitome of what I said.
I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know, you can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man. You can't
Paddy Power performance of the weekend, John. We mentioned Sean Gannon. He was outstanding yesterday. The only blot was one he put in the goalkeeper's hands. I thought that was going over because he was a really good left foot, but still scored 2 points from play and was involved in anything really good that Aero. Himself and Jordan Morrissey, if we're being honest, they're their two best county men, and they do stand out, don't they, for
definitely.
Them?
Yeah, definitely. No, the two lads really led the line for them, for Aero. Definitely.
They both started in midfield as well. Jordan Morrissey started the game with a huge hit on Brian Bobbitt. It was just after the throw-in, and it was a great hit, and it kind of set the tone for the whole game, because it was a hard-hitting game. Those games generally are in conditions like that, you know. It's easier surround forwards and stuff, but they definitely stand out. Another player on the Aero team I thought was outstanding was Jordan Lowry. He marked Ross McGarry, who had been in very good form, and he was very good form in the county final as well. And he was out in front of him, out beside him, just getting a hand in. He was picked number 5 and went back into the corner, and it's unusual for a wing back to enjoy marking as much as he did. Maybe he was a corner back underage or something and went out onto the wing, but I don't know. I definitely didn't enjoy corner back play the same way he seemed to like it. Conal Keeney, we've spoken to him already on the show. Like, I mean, he got taken off towards the end, wasn't happy about it. Like I mentioned to him, I think when you get to a certain age, you're toast after 50 minutes, 45 minutes anyways. Shane Clayton, full back for Ballyboden, was very good too. Anyone else stand out for you?
I think you've mentioned them all there, but I think that the day that was in it, it was very hard to pick just one guy to, you know, he was definitely the best lad on the pitch, you know, because I think that both teams, everybody really tried hard.
Defences were on top, it's easy to say.
Cornerback number 4 for Ballyboden.
Dwan.
Yeah, like he was flying off the pitch. Everybody really gave it their all, like, you know, and that's what you need for a Leinster final in those conditions. So, look.
Declan O'Mahony was very good too for Ballyboden, and he must be 38.
Yeah, he's up there, all right, yeah.
36 maybe or something like that. But the performance of the weekend comes from the intermediate final on Saturday. Captain Mattock Rangers captain Adrian Reid took the game by the scruff of the neck, according to his manager, in the first half when Mattock Rangers were 7-2 down, playing into the wind, and he joins us on the line now. So you took the game by the scruff of the neck, Adrian. That's nice to hear from your manager.
It was, yeah. Colin was great. I say he felt like taking me by the scruff of the neck for the first 20 minutes, but at least we got control of the game. And look, it was just it was a special moment for the club and the parish. You know, it was just to be Leinster champions. You know, it was a super achievement.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, there was a bit of a wind in it, so we don't want to overblow the first 20 minutes. But you were 7-2 down, and I suppose, like anything, even with a wind, if Mullan Navat get a goal at that stage, you know, you're looking in big trouble.
Yeah, like, I mean, between Cali and Sean Kelly, two lads were just telling us to stay in the game. We were just completely overwhelmed by Mullan Navat and their powerhouse was, like, you know, it's like, I was absolutely taught a lesson in midfield by Jerry Malone. He was superb on the day. He was just untouchable. And they just kept driving at us. And just to be honest, you're probably right. They had 2 goal chances, didn't take any of them. And we just got it. We just kept in the game, and we just started, you know, tagging off a few scores here and there, and we were going in a point down at half time. It was just a massive lift for us, you know, with a strong breeze in the second half.
Yeah, and you were able to push on from there. I was actually surprised when I saw Mattock Rangers, because, like, my football club career would have spanned a time when Mattock Rangers were winning county senior titles in Louth, and you won 4 in the noughties. And to be honest, I hadn't noticed you had gone back down to intermediate, but almost like Tullerone, you went down, we spoke to Pádraig Walsh last Monday, you went down in 2015 and struggled for 4 years to get back out of it.
Yeah, like it's a dogfight in intermediate, and, you know, it's very competitive there. Like we have league football is disconnected from the championship, so we're playing Division 1 football along with another 5 teams that play intermediate championship. So it's just a dogfight to get out of there. And like for 4 years, we were beaten in the final and 2 semi-finals, and, you know, the teams that bet us went on to win it. But it was just it's just very hard to get out there. And you know, we're a small village. We've had a golden era where we just had, you know, some really great players. And it's very hard for other players to break into the team. And, you know, once those guys retire, they're probably left with a 10-year void there. We have players that just weren't getting games. And, you know, we just luckily enough, we have a new generation coming through, and they've been excellent.
Right, so that's it. So you've had a fresh injection of players. There's still a few of you hanging around from the older era as well.
that's it. They'll be doing well to get rid of us too, I'm telling you.
Well, you're
no plan of leaving yet.
Yeah, you've Leinster champions now anyways. Like, I mean, you mentioned Mattock is just a little village club, and we were talking on the show here, it seems to be like the year of the village club. Borrisaleigh won, Munster, Mattock Rangers, yourselves won, Kilcoo won, Temple No won, Tullerone won, and maybe a bit of a push calling Corrafinna village. It is a village, but it has a bigger catchment area. But like, I mean, I don't know what it is about village clubs this year, but the kind of community spirit and that kind of togetherness seems to be pushing through.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't speak for the other villages, but like certainly from our own case, like it's always been a close knit team. Like, yeah, I just look at last night, we were out celebrating, and you have your arm around the chap who's studying for his leaving cert, and on the other side, then you've the likes of your brother or Mike English, be the goalkeeper, who are near enough the latter side of the 30, so coming close to the 40 than they are 30. And you realise what a small village is all about, and it's just that sort of family spirit, you know, and that togetherness, and it definitely helps. Like, once you have that as a team, you go a long way.
Yeah, I suppose the celebrations go crazy in little villages because the local policeman is probably in on the lock-in along with everybody else.
He plays with us.
Oh, you're laughing. So I hear you're a dab hand at the piano as well. Your party piece is Piano Man. I'm not sure any village pubs have pianos in them.
Listen, we brought the piano in yesterday, but it was a bit too wild. It'll be submerged in water if I start bringing it out here today. So we leave that for another day. But yeah, it's the party trick on the side. You get a good crack out of it.
Yeah, no. So I hear. So talk to us about Niall Callan taking over. So he's obviously an ex-player who would know an awful lot of you very well, and that's a difficult thing to do. Obviously, come in and manage teammates. You know, our ex-teammates.
Yeah, and I know it wasn't something that sat easy with him. He probably had to think about it, and you know, he did have to, you know, he wasn't sure was it the right thing. Sometimes that worked out for you, and others then, you know, it can backfire. But Caddy's a really good approach with lads. He's an excellent manager, and in the modern game, it's all about being able to manage players. And you know, I was fully confident when Caddy was taking over that, you know, we had the right man at the wheel. And he's been brilliant. He's just given us that bit of leadership to maybe just that bit of responsibility to, you know, like we were really struggling there against Mullinavat at 7-2, and you were just saying where are the scores going to come from, and how are we going to stop this onslaught that they were bringing to us. And you know, we figured it out on the pitch, like, you know, as guys are saying, stay in it, but we figured it out, and we've been given that kind of responsibility to, you know, that trust that we will find a way to open, you know, to break down teams. And you know, the guys have to take a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, he had a comment there saying that in the previous few years trying to get out of intermediate, he says they were just lacking something or not playing as Mattock should play. What did he mean by that? Like,
look, traditionally, I suppose we would have always been seen as a footballing side. You know, our first year we won the championship, we got to the Leinster senior final that year, and we played some of the best football, you know, that the club has ever seen. Very attacking style, and it's always been our way. And maybe the last 2 years, you know, we had John Kennedy from Glen Down, and he brought a new approach to it. Just, you know, we the last couple of years we felt like we've been leaking a lot. You know, no problem going forward, but we were leaking a lot of defence. And he brought in a completely different structure where, you know, it was a case of maybe two forwards and everyone was behind the ball.
Yeah.
And like anything, it just wasn't met probably with a great response. I suppose the supporters weren't happy with the way we were playing. So from the team's point of view, you know, we probably learned so much out of those 2 years. And you know, the guys might get any much credit for that, but they have to take a lot of satisfaction, I'm sure, in seeing us win yesterday, because they had a part to play in that as well, you know.
Right, I've shown you what way not to play.
I think we always felt that we were a good attacking side, and we had the forwards there to do it. And you know, we've kicked 217 in the semi final. We kicked 114 there on Saturday. So you know, just certainly, you know, attacking football certainly suits us better.
Yeah, no, I knew where you were going with that when you said we got a manager from down. I knew that was kind of, but it is true though. it is kind of true though, Adrian. Like so many teams now are going with the two forwards and everybody else get back, and there's a huge reluctance to kick it to the two lads that are down there, and sometimes when they do kick it to them, they're isolated and there's not enough support. And surely there's a better balance than that, you know, like, which he obviously found this year. Like, without risking something, you can't score. There has to be a risk, you know. That's what good players do, to take chances, and they risk something for something better to happen.
Yeah, look, a lot of it's down to, you know, you get very comfortable when you start playing sweepers, and no one takes responsibility, because there's always, oh, we have someone covering that place, we have someone covering that position, and then you're kicking the ball up to two men, and it's very hard to support that play, like, unless you've got two guys who can run, you know, a kilometre in under 3 minutes, you're going to struggle to get someone who can just get up and down the field and support those two inside forwards. Plus, you need them to be strong and to be able to hold the ball up. And it does. It's draining when you're playing it. Like, you know, you like anything, when your manager there, you buy into it 100%. But it definitely does get. We just got tired by the end of the year, and you know, making those runs became a lot harder to do. You know, whereas we've probably been a bit more offensive this year, and the support is there. Lads are willing to make the runs, and you're willing to get back, and that bit of a squeeze on you know, being a bit of accountability more so. Like you're you know, you've got a marker, you've got a man that you need to mark, and it's your responsibility that he doesn't get, you know, that he doesn't impact on the game, and that's the approach we've been taking. You know?
Yeah, and it does make sense. There's no hiding place then, and you know that makes perfect sense to me. You mentioned your brother David. He scored 7 yesterday, 5 from play. He was there in 0-2, so he's been on the go a while. And I saw a lovely little stat that the last time Mattock won the intermediate championship was in 1982, and your late father Damien Reid, who was obviously a brilliant player with Loud, he was captain. So that's a lovely little, you know, continuation of the Reid family.
Yeah, look, it's a lovely personal, you know, personal achievement and personal touch to it. You know, and that's the way we'd look at it. I mean, it's from our point of view, it's not about individuality. It's just about the team and you know, doing whatever you can for the team. And that's the way we've always been. That's the way we've always been taught how to play football by my father and you know, myself and Dave. I might have got a lot of credit this year, but I mean, like, we'd be the first people to say it, that, you know, the whole team collectively have been just super this year, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not over yet.
No, it's definitely not over yet, because you have you've got an All-Ireland semi-final to look forward to. Yeah, I know you're going to the schools. You're probably not too many schools in Mattock Rangers to do the rounds. I'm not going to keep you any longer. I'm going to let you go. How many schools do you have to head off to?
Oh, just the one today. Just the one, thankfully. I don't know. There's a few boys now that might struggle to do more than one, the way that the shape they're in. But no, it's great. I, like, you know, we're playing, like, there's one of the guys there on the team, and you know, like, half of the team that have come into the, you know, to come into the panel this year, like, we were visiting them back in the noughties with cups, and you know, it's just success breeds success, and they're now returning the favour. They're now just breeding, you know, bringing the cup down to the next generation. You know, we had one of the guys, Oisín McKenna, in 2005. I was holding his hand walking around in a parade, and then to be playing alongside him, it's actually great to see, very fulfilling, you know.
Yeah, no, it sounds absolutely fantastic. Right, come here, I'll let you go on to that school there now. I know it's 1 o'clock that you have to go there. Take it easy, Adrian. Thanks very much for talking to us. Congratulations.
Thanks, Colin.
All right, great stuff from Adrian there. That's all we've time for this week. We will be back on Thursday with another show, and we'll talk to you then. Good luck.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. Money back as a free bet on any championship match on live TV. If you're losing, first goal scorer bet gets a goal.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance of goal, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken. I let it go, 'cause I won't see you later, and we're not allowed to talk it out.